Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
In Matthew chapter 15, we're going to be picking up at verse number 21. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Let me tell you just a little bit about that. Tyre and Sidon was a very old city. As a matter of fact, it dated back to around 1400 BC, which, just to get an idea of what took place during that time, how many have ever heard of the Exodus? That was where Israel left Egypt. That took place around 1400 BC. So that kind of puts it into perspective a little bit. This was a very old city, and as a matter of fact, up till about 300 years before Christ came, it was an island. And then Alexander the Great, when he wanted to conquer it, had difficulty conquering Tyre. I couldn't get it out. Get outside, and I couldn't get out Tyre. He had trouble conquering Tyre because it was an island, and so he had his men to build a causeway out to it, so it became like a peninsula out from the Syrian coast. So by the time Jesus came, you could actually go all the way out to what was an island. It was actually populated with a larger population than Jerusalem itself, and yet it was Gentile population. So that's another reason we realize that Jesus was set on getting away, because our text will give away that his ministry was to the nation of Israel. So he's stepping away, perhaps to people that didn't know him quite as well, so that he could get some rest and his disciples could get rest. So that's kind of the setting of our passage. I see something here that I believe that the Holy Spirit would have us to take a look at that kind of goes beyond the narrative itself. But let me read to you the text and we'll see where we land. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Now, that kind of speaks to the fact that she was making a nuisance out of herself. Okay? So I want you to get the full picture here. He answered to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. And he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Ouch. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we can once again open up your word. I pray that there would be revelation knowledge in this room for young and old, that we would hear and receive from you as we look at this text. May you be glorified, may you be honored, and may our lives be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to realize this from where Jesus was in the previous passage to where Jesus is at the beginning. This passage is about 70 miles. They didn't have cars. They didn't have buses. They didn't have trains. They didn't have airplanes. They walked or rode a slow-moving donkey. So you can give an estimate as to how many miles that they would make during a day, but I can tell you this, it would have been a several-day journey for Jesus to go from Gennesaret to Tyre, or the region of Tyre and Sidon. I want you to see how purposeful that Jesus was in this action. He was seeking for himself and his disciples' solitude. Mark 7 says, he entered a house and didn't want anyone to know it. How many of you on your vacation just as soon not meet anybody that you know? Oh, that's okay. Come on. How many? It's just like Jesus. You see in this passage Jesus' determination to stay on task. And yet, I want you to see how important it was also to get rest and to get away. He modeled that for us. However, in this passage, we can see how a cry for mercy and an extension of faith can change the task of Jesus. I believe that we can move the heart of God with our desire for mercy and our deep faith. Jesus was on task. He was on purpose. His purpose was to get away with his disciples to rest. His purpose was to preach and to minister only to the tribe of Israel, the tribes of Israel. But a woman with her need, crying out to him, moved him off of his task. I think that's important for us to realize. In this passage in Matthew's Gospel, holds for us the exciting life lesson that we can all benefit by instituting in our lives. And here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a change in our destiny. Destiny is a word that is thrown around. Actually, yesterday as I was listening to the radio, as I was doing some other things, I heard it three different times. People talking about destiny. It is a live word today. And it gives, well, in its definition, let's see if I don't have the definition here. Destiny equals something to which a person or thing is destined, a predetermined course of events often held to be an irresistible power or agency. In other words, it's the end result no matter what. Nietzsche, a psychologist, psychiatrist, well-written man, wrote, "Our destiny commands us even when we do not yet know what it is. It is the future which guides the rule of our present." In other words, what's going to happen in the end actually moves what we do and what we are doing in the present. I wrote that down because I agree with it. The decisions that we make today make us tomorrow. I make my decisions now and then my decisions make me tomorrow. Often we don't like the end result. We don't like the destiny point of the decisions we make. Then the key is to make good decisions today. We often trade immediate pleasure for long-term results. In other words, we're so set on getting what we want to feel good in the moment that we forget that many of those decisions have long-term or lasting ramifications. How many understand what I'm talking about? Your decisions today count against your destiny. It doesn't actually just happen. Let me go back one. A predetermined course of events often held to be irresistible power or agency. You can make decisions today that can change your destiny. This is is one of the beauties of our spiritual faith. It offers us an opportunity to change the end result. Or even our very todays can be changed by allowing God to intervene in the destiny of our lives. I'm going to show you this, and we're not going to take a whole lot of time. Let me get to it here. As we examine how to change our destiny, you're looking there, I'm looking at this screen. Mine's clearer than yours. As we examine how to change our destiny, let us begin by comparing the destiny of man without God to the destiny of man in Christ. There's a huge difference, folks. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" See, we need to realize that our decisions today shape our destiny, shape our future, shape the end result. The destiny of man, the destiny of the body of man, sounds like this, Psalm 89:48. "What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave?" Hebrews 9:27. "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment." 2 Corinthians 4:7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves." We are in these jars of clay that are destined from the dust to the dust. Our destiny as men without God is to die and see the grave. The destiny of the souls of men. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "And the dust returns to the ground from which it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." Matthew 10:28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And of course, you know the scriptures, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The desire, the intent, the commission of sin brings death. That is the natural course or the destiny of man without God. Now here's the attitude. The attitude of man with this destiny today is que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I have heard it and too many times. Well, when you die, you die. That's the end of it all. That's a bit naive. It's definitely against Scripture. But you realize that that is the take, and maybe some of you have heard that from other unbelievers, those who are not followers of Christ. Well, when you die, you're done. That's the end of it. The only problem is that God, in His Word, which He has given to us as a guide for our lives, He tells us that's not the end of it. The destiny of man without God is judgment and punishment. I'd like to tell you there's something different, but that's the reality. The destiny of man without God is judgment and punishment to follow. But then it gets better, because the destiny of man in Christ offers a change. So there are two courses. To follow the destiny of man, that's the easy way. You do nothing and you will end up in the destiny of man. However, if you choose to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, you ask Him to come into your heart, then things begin to change. Because listen to this. The destiny of the body of man in Christ, John 5:25 says, "I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear His voice will live." Hallelujah. Just sit there. That's fine. I'll take care of it. We'll do the amens too. It's just going to take a little longer. John 5:28 says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out, those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. There is a difference. There is a change in destiny for our bodies when we know Christ. Second Corinthians 4:14, for we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence, Paul says. The destiny of the soul of man in Christ is different than the destiny of the soul of man without Christ. Psalm 49:15, but God will redeem my soul from the grave. Surely he will take me to himself. John 8:31, I tell you the truth, if a man keeps my word, he will never see death. Whoo, hallelujah. I don't know. I know. See, some of this is so familiar to us that we're not accepting the impact of it. I'm talking about the ultimate destiny of your life changes when you allow Jesus Christ to be on the throne of your heart and life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But, come on, say it with me. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's see, that was the attitude. The attitude says all things are possible with Christ. See the contrast. The emptiness of living without Christ. Knowing that your destiny is death, your destiny is judgment, your destiny is punishment for everything that you have done wrong in this life. Whereas the destiny of the man who has Christ in him changes. A decision to follow Jesus Christ in your life will change your destiny. Now you may say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with our text this morning? Let me take you to this. You see, I want you to realize that Jesus is the destiny changer. There is no other religion in the world that will offer through a companionship, through a relationship, a life-changing, a destiny-changing life the way Jesus will do. Come to Jesus. You see, this lady, a Gentile, Syrophoenician woman, okay, lived in the area of Phoenicia, part of the Syrian Empire, Syrophoenician woman. That's what Mark calls her. Jesus' very disciples said, get her away. Move her away. She had every obstacle, every reason to have turned and walked away from Jesus and saying, I can't get to him. He won't take care of me. But you see, she was determined for a change of destiny. Her daughter was being racked, torn to pieces by a demonic spirit. She could do nothing about it except for watch in agony of what was taking place. But she heard, and you know, it doesn't offer to us, there's parts of this story that I wish I knew. How did she find out about Jesus? She lived in a Gentile place. She was not a Jew. She was not part of those who were, Jesus was sent to touch and to minister to. But somehow or another, she heard that Jesus could make a difference in her life. And so she came to Jesus. And can I tell you this morning, if you want to change your destiny, if you want to change your present circumstance, whatever your circumstance may be, if you want to change the possibilities of the future, I tell you, come to Jesus. I like this. It says, as soon As she heard about him, she came. So Mark's gospel says, as soon as she heard about him, she came. I marvel at the people that know about Jesus who are holding on to the destiny of lostness, the destiny of death without God, the destiny of judgment without a Savior. Even after they've heard about Jesus, she was smart enough to realize there's some hope that is in Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, there's hope in Jesus. But we have to come to him. I've found this. When someone has the power of the Holy Spirit on them to pray for healing over people, we call them faith healers or whatever, there's a legitimate ministry to that. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is faith. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gives that gift of faith because he is desiring to do something. It is like a move of God, a beautiful move of God. Individuals are healed. I've witnessed it firsthand with my very own eyes and seen an individual who was anointed of God as a faith healer. And you know what I found? That when an individual like that is touching people and believing for their healing and seeing it happen, they don't need the radio or the television. They don't need a bunch of advertisements or posters stuck up all over the place. The only thing that people need to know and want to know is, where is that person? And then they will drive. They will go. They will fly. They will do whatever they need to do in order to get to that person who has that gift of faith so that that person will lay their hands upon them. Now I'm telling you, Jesus has the power. Look at this. It says, she fell at his feet. In Mark chapter 6, it says, when he, this was the demon-possessed man, saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. The synagogue ruler named Jairus came there, seeing Jesus. He fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. I can go scripture after scripture. When people came to Jesus because they realized that he had the substance of life, they realized that he had the power to heal and change their circumstance, they came and they didn't just come to him, they came and fell before him. A place of obeisance, a place of humility, a place of bowing down before him, letting go of their own will, letting go of their own capabilities, and leaning in upon Jesus. It makes a difference, church. Too many of us, we want to pray a quick prayer, send it off email or Twitter or something or other, or put it onto Facebook, a Twitter, a prayer to the Lord Jesus, and say, Lord, you know, I know that you're powerful here. Take care of this for me. No, there's a difference between coming to Jesus and falling before him in humility and in desire. But I'm telling you, that's the course where your needs are met. Here's the last piece of it. Press in until there's a change. Can you imagine? The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she cried. Jesus' reply, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Like I said, ouch. There's no way that you can read that it doesn't smart. You see, the fact was, there was no association between Jews and Gentiles. They didn't eat together. They didn't fellowship together. They didn't come into the same house together. there was some long-term feelings between the Canaanites, of which she was, and the people of Israel. Because if you remember, the Canaanites were in the land, and they were driven out by the nation of Israel. Remember that? Under God's authority. So there was animosity that went both directions. They didn't like each other. And Jesus is confirming, he's affirming what she knew, that there was no association between Jews and this Gentile. By making this statement, he gave her a visual picture. He wasn't necessarily calling her or her people dogs. He was making a reference that even when they're setting, and this was the kind of the purpose of dogs, and I remember this, as we've had dogs in our household, that when our kids, especially when our kids were little and a piece of food fell from the table, Sharon and I didn't worry over it too much because we had a little one in waiting. Our little girl dog or boy dog, whatever we had at that time, would rush over and collect it for us. The only thing we had to worry about was lick marks on the floor. So, I mean, this was a visual picture that she understood, that the dogs do not eat at the table. Jesus had come to serve at the table. But she comes quickly back to him and says, but the dogs wait there for the crumbs to fall. Let a crumb fall to me. You may sit and say, I'm not worthy that the Lord would take care of my need. I'm not worthy that the Lord would change my destiny. We're none of us worthy of that. But listen to me, let the crumbs fall. Let the power of God run over onto us. There's more than enough, church. He's the all-sufficient one. Nothing. I love that passage of Scripture. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, you may sit here and you start beating yourself up over past experiences. Well, you know, I missed it on this. I should have done this. Forget about the past. Let go of the past and begin to live today. Lord Jesus, may I, with every need that is in my life, realize that there is help and there is hope in you. And that I can come to you and I can fall at your feet and I can stay there and get a hold of you until you change my circumstance. He's able. And I can tell you, he's willing. Come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. We need to give him a chance, folks, with our lives. May I ask you, do you have, I don't know if this is proper English, but I'm going to say it this way anyway. Do you have a first resort Jesus? Or do you have a last resort Jesus? You know, often, even as believers, we have a last resort Jesus. We say, well, you know, there's all of these different things, there's all of these different helps, there's all of these, so I'm going to go to all of them first, and if that doesn't work out, then I'm going to go to Jesus. Make him a first resort. Make him the first place. My goodness. Time will not permit me this morning to start giving testimonies of the lives that have been changed right here in this room. Of years that have been extended to life when the doctors said no, when the doctors said your destiny is this many weeks, this many months, and God, because of individuals that pressed in prayer and seeking God, that years were added, not just days, not just weeks, but years were added to those lives. So why didn't God take it all away? Can't answer that. But I do know that their destiny was changed. Their circumstance was changed because they were willing to come to Jesus. They were willing to fall before Him, and they were willing to keep seeking Him until they received the answer. There's life-changing power in Jesus. Destiny-changing power in Jesus. The destiny of man is set. He's lost for eternity. The destiny of man in Christ is set. He's destined for eternal life and hope. Hallelujah. This could get fun. See if you could wind up praise the Lord in here too. I would really like, we get this down, we won't even need them. They'll just, you can just sit there and look at me and we'll just press buttons up here. You know, read this. God has made a way through Christ to change our eternal destiny and even our today. What's going on in your life today? What are you just accepting? The struggles, the difficulties. Why not bring them to Jesus? Why not come and kneel down before Him? You say, Jesus, You are my hope. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here before You until You hear my prayer and change my circumstance. If we're willing to come to Jesus and follow at His feet and press in, there is change. I believe it with all of my heart. But you know what? I also believe that we are holding back. We're holding back when the Lord wants to do things in our lives. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that the Lord is wanting to do something with this church. It's really going to take up a lot of time. We've had to go to the button every time. Come on, Steve. Come on up here. Stand with me. I want to be true to this. We're going to try our very best on these four Sundays with our children in here to stay within an hour. I'm believing that the Lord will make an impact upon our lives. I don't know who you are, or what your desire is, what your need is. I just know that the Lord wants to minister to you today. And I'll just be obedient to what the Lord laid upon my heart, and that is, I want to invite you to come, not alone, but come as a family. If any member of your family has a need, a circumstance that you are needing God to change the destiny, change the end result, to change the present course, I want to invite you this morning to come. Just step out from wherever you're at and come as a family. Come down here to the altar. You may do more in this for your children in setting the course of their lives than anything you will do this whole week. As you teach them by example, that kids, listen, when we have a need in our lives, this is where we go. We come and we kneel down. We let others gather around us and pray and believe with us because Jesus is the destiny changer. He can change it all. Father in heaven, move upon us this morning. I know that there are needs in this congregation. The question is whether we're willing to press in, to come to You, to kneel before You, to press in, to let You change our circumstance. Help us right now in these closing moments to not let anything stand in the way of the help and the hope that You want to give to us. But move upon us.